Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Time now to welcome in the other half of this show. Typically, she's typically sitting right across from me here, but she is up on the hill at Rice-Eccles Stadium getting ready for today's game as Cal takes on Utah. That is Michelle Bodkin. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Jake. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back, obviously. I appreciate you holding down the fort while I was out for a little bit there. But you are getting ready for a football game today. And I guess we'll just say it this way. The Cam Rising watch continues for another week, it looks like.
It sure does. It actually looks like we have some resolve. Pete Femel earlier this morning reporting that Bryson Barnes is going to be starting. Well, So far, he's been correct on his information. I don't have any reason to doubt that he's wrong this go around, but it was a little bit of a surprise announcement to me. I wasn't really entirely sure that Bryson was still okay enough to go. So I kind of good news, I think, for Utah that maybe he's okay to play.
Well, and that's the thing about it is I like you. I was like, okay, he gets sent to the hospital up there in Corvallis after taking that just shot to the sternum/ribs. That, man, it was a brutal, brutal hit. I'm as stunned as anybody being cleared to play, but it looks like they're going to go back, as Pete Thamel kind of alluded to, back to what they did to start the season. You're going to have Bryson Barnes be the traditional quarterback with Nate Johnson being the change of pace guy, and it feels like in some ways this is a good game to have that going, but at the same time, do we expect at any point that Cam Rising will return?
I think there's still hope, but the interesting thing is there has been talks about does he sit the rest of the season and possibly go for a medical hardship type of deal next year. And to be honest, there's no guarantee that he gets that, but apparently there is a bit of a loophole that he maybe would have a good case for it. When traditionally his circumstances actually do not quantify earning one of those. So it's all very fluid. It's a very wait and see kind of situation. And I think we're just going to be on our toes all season, to be honest, as far as what's going to happen.
Well, it does keep us all engaged. There's no doubt about that. It just continues to let you have fun tracking that seemingly day-to-day in a way, Michelle. But the other thing about this is the running back position has been absolutely just crippled by injuries. I found out earlier this week that Chris Curry suffered, what Kyle Whittingham described as a non-contact injury to his healthy knee, which is unfortunate. What's the running back situation looking like for the Utes going into this one against Cal?
Well, you know, I think the big hope at this point is that JJ got enough rest to be effective for hopefully the rest of the season. And, you know, I saw him walking around at practice. And again, it's walking. It's not running. Sure. It's not trying to cut. It's not doing running back things. But he seems to be moving around at least in a normal way. Didn't seem as gimpy limpy. So it's going to be interesting here in about a half hour when I walk down to go check out warm-ups and some of that kind of stuff to see how he's doing. But I think that's kind of the big thing outside of hopefully maybe getting one of those three freshmen that they brought in up to speed to where they can maybe help just kind of carry some of the load so that it's not all on DeQuindon, it's not all on Jalen, that they can kind of spread it around and maybe keep some guys fresh. Because, they're between Charlie Vincent being banged up, JJ being banged up, knock on wood, Jalen Glover seems to be okay at the moment. But, I mean, it really – and then you don't have Mekhi Bernard available, you don't have Chris Curry available. It's looking pretty dire at the moment for that group.
Now, the bye week, obviously, a lot of guys able to heal up, et cetera, and that the hope is that they're fresher, obviously, when they get out there and play. What are things looking like in terms of the offensive line? Are you expecting many changes, if at all, along the offensive front?
You know, I think the big thing is that they're hoping at some point to get Johnny Maiea back in the lineup. And I know that he's been really close the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, this bye week was the last push. And I think, honestly, they'll probably put him in at center and move Darren Kump out to one of the guard positions. So that's a possibility for a change in lineup. But outside of that, I think the offensive line is going to be what it is. The big thing is, I think, because Utah is having to work with and bring on so many young guys, at this point, you know, that offensive line for the most part is the most veteran part of that offense, and they've kind of underperformed. So I think the big message for them is, you know, you guys have to get it going, because if you don't get it going, it just makes it so much harder for our young guys under center, makes it harder for our young guys that are playing running back. It makes the whole thing kind of shut down when you guys aren't doing what you're capable of doing.
Now, the defense has been kind of the redeeming factor all season long for the Utes, obviously. They've been absolutely lights out. And you're expecting more of the same, honestly, because Mendoza is going to be the quarterback for Cal. And we were talking earlier on in today's show with Dante Moore, a highly touted freshman, came in with UCLA. Utah's defense just feasted on him. It feels like this is just the recipe for success, is essentially do what you did defensively against UCLA, against the Bears today.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big goal for this Utah defense. They're going to want to kind of redeem themselves for Oregon State. And not that they played bad against Oregon State.
Sure.
Really, I mean, they were just fine, and they did enough to allow the team to win. It's just too bad that some of the other facets of the game were struggling mightily and didn't carry their part of the deal. But it definitely also was not their best defensive performance of the year thus far. So I think they're going to feel like they need to redeem themselves a little bit. And what better way than to come home, go against a freshman quarterback, which history has shown us. I mean, Dante Moore is the most recent iteration of that. But, you can point to Jaden Daniels, a whole bunch of young starting freshman quarterbacks coming here for the first time. It doesn't go well for them.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't expect it to be any different this go around. It's just a tough place, tough environment. That defense feeds off of this crowd. And I think Fernando Mendoza is going to be in for a bit of a rough day, but it's fine. And it's going to be a great learning experience for him. And maybe hopefully, you know, something that kind of helps get Utah back on track.
Can we just acknowledge it's a great name for a quarterback, Fernando Mendoza?
It feels very like Princess Bride to me.
Okay.
My name is Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. You killed my fault. Yeah. I don't know why it gives me that vibe, but it gives me that vibe. So, yeah, great name. Great name.
Well, yeah, but you're right. The history suggests when you bring a freshman quarterback to Salt Lake City to play against Utah, just prepare for – let's put it – prepare for the worst. It seems like in that way that's the circumstance. But the other concern you got to have, Michelle, is the past two games for Utah, obviously before the bye week, the offense has produced exactly 14 points. So if you're the Cal Bears, conversely, you're thinking about this: if we can generate just enough offense, if we can hold down Utah's offense in our own right, we may find ourselves in a rock fight and get out of there with a victory.
Oh, totally. And I fully expect Cal to come in with exactly that mindset. They kind of did that last week against Oregon State. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you know, that was at Cal's place.
Sure.
Oregon State was, you know, on the road that game. A little bit different when you're the home team, but still, I think Cal should come into this feeling confident that, I mean, they put points up on a pretty good Oregon State defense, and they maybe didn't do the best job stopping that offense, but Utah's offense hasn't shown that same kind of propensity. So I think there is reason to maybe feel or believe that you can come in and kind of muddy things up a little bit here and maybe walk away with a win.
Now, it is, if I'm not mistaken, they're wearing the special uniforms this week. Ute Pride, obviously, going on. Did they change the uniforms much this year, Michelle, from what you could tell? I got a chance to look at them. I just did not get a chance to look at the details on it.
I believe they are exactly the same as what they wore against San Diego State last year.
Okay.
Same helmet pattern, and then the black jersey with the red pants.
Yeah, why they were gonna wear? They were gonna go all black. What was the late change? What necessitated the late change from black pants to red pants, Michelle? Come on, give us the details here. Let's go. Come on.
I'm not sure that there's really details to give. I kind of got the impression that maybe someone grabbed the wrong pair of pants for the photo shoot. So, but you know what? It's kind of fun. I said when we updated our article on KSL Sports that it's giving a Ring of Fire solar eclipse vibe.
Ah.
So, yeah. So kind of, I don't know, kind of fitting with the solar event happening today, I guess.
Yeah, did you get
on top of UPride?
Yeah, did you get a chance to go out and see it? Did you get out of the stadium to see it for a second? I walked out during a break to see it just for a minute there.
I've been standing outside for the last hour.
Okay.
I just have not had any of the like glasses to look up at
okay.
it. So like, you know, I'm not trying to go blind here.
Hey, you gotta protect those retinas. We get that, Michelle. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. Got to keep the eyesight strong because I got things to type up, man.
No, I understand that. Now, I got one other question just with regards to the game today. Is now it starts kind of the back half of the season, obviously, for Utah as they looked at the final seven games of the season. But it feels like the Pac-12 is full of all kinds of possibilities out there. I don't know how much you saw last night of Stanford, Colorado. I was fully expecting at halftime to watch the first part of the third quarter, then go straight to bed. No, I stayed up until well past midnight to watch that game finish, Michelle, and it feels like in many ways that's how this season could go across the board for Utah and the rest of the Pac-12.
Yeah, you know, that was a game I slept through the half where Colorado looked like they had it in hand and woke up just in time to watch the comeback.
Okay, fair enough. So you got lucky then. All right.
Yeah, totally. I timed that well, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, yeah, the Pac-12 is kind of proving to be, you know, crazy, and anything kind of can happen and go. I feel like, you know, Cal and Arizona State and obviously Stanford to this point have all – they're not great teams per se, but, like, they've kind of had people on the ropes a lot more than I think you would expect. And so – and talking about Arizona as well with USC the other day, and then you have some of these, you know – top tier teams that maybe have looked a little bit mortal than we were expecting them to. So it's, I think anything goes in the Pac-12, and you know, it's, I think we're just kind of in for some wacky, weird, wonderful treats heading forward. So that's kind of my take on it.
Well, yeah, then there was a tweet last night. I think it was from Paolo Ughetti, who works for ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. He said that it feels like at this point, every Pac-12 after dark game feels like a collector's item. And I was like, that's actually a really, really good point on that point.
Yeah, no, I what are we going to do without Pac-12 after dark?
Like, I don't know.
It's been the highlight of my life for like the last 10 years because anything can happen. Pac-12 after dark. We saw it last night.
I guess the hope will be that some of it translates over to Big 12 after dark with some of the new programs, including Utah jumping in.
Maybe. I mean, Houston definitely put that to work on Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe so. Maybe we're going to be starting to talk about Big 12 after dark. Who knows?
We'll have to wait and see. Last thing from you, Michelle. What's your prediction for today? Did you make a prediction?
I did. And now I'm trying to I know I said Utah 27.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what I said for Cal. I think it was like 17 or something like that. But I think this offense gets on track. And again, I'm not saying that they're going to put up 50 points. Like, they're just missing too many pieces, I think. And I think the coaching staff is trying to play it as safe and careful as possible. But I do think that they will do things that will make them look much more efficient than they have the past two games, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm expecting from this group today.
So 27-13 was your final. I just pulled it up on KSLSports.com. And I think that's pretty fair. Is it going to – one other question. I know I said my last thing. Does the defense score points in today's game?
I think they could.
Okay.
I think that's reasonable to maybe expect. They did it, you know, against UCLA.
Correct.
And their freshman quarterback, and you're going against another freshman quarterback. I think this defense is more than capable of pulling that off.
All right. Well, we will shall see, and obviously we'll be tracking all your work. Enjoy the game today, Michelle. And, of course, big thanks as always for all your great work and, of course, being co-host here on this program as well.
Oh, of course, Jake. Looking forward to I probably won't see you next week because I'll be in L.A.
Yeah,
but you're
heading to USC.
I'll probably see you probably the week of the Oregon game. I suspect that's probably going to be a late game.
I would imagine so. All right. Well, thanks as always, Michelle. And once again, enjoy the game today. And obviously, we'll be tracking all your work at KSLSports.com and on social media.
All right. Thanks so much, Jake.
There you go. Michelle Bodkin, of course, Utah Utes insider for KSLSports.com and the co-host of this fine program. Big thank you to her for taking the time. She'll be on her way out to final trip for Utah probably for quite a while, going to USC next week. Of course, a big storyline there, the final battle between the Trojans and the Utes. They've had some really, really fun games in the recent past, but obviously you got to take care of business against the Cal Bears today. All right, we will come back on the other side. We'll get to 5 minutes of. We have brackets, by the way. I don't know if people pay attention to Utah high school football. I do. I'm lucky enough to call football games for KSL Sports Rewind. The RPI rankings, the final rankings are out. We have brackets for all the different divisions, including eight-man football in the state of Utah. Break a little bit of that down. We'll talk about the Utah Jazz in action tonight and a whole lot more coming up next right here on The Saturday Show. Welcome back to The Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Jay Catch along for the ride on this Saturday morning. Hope you all are doing well out there. Big thank you for all of you tuning in, wherever you might be listening, whether it's on the KSL Sports app, 97.5 FM, 1280 AM, all the different ways you can get the show. Also, it's also podcasted as well. Just search out The Saturday Show wherever you get your podcast, and you can listen to it that way or KSLSports.com. A couple scores of note. I'm just looking over the screen here. We got Florida State beating up on Syracuse 17-3. You also have here's the thing. You want to know the new era of streaming, Jason, is that all of these streaming partners have all gone with these multi-box TV options. This is the first time I've seen this. I'm on the ESPN app here on our in our studio. They now have a multi-box feature.
Wow.
So I've got both Syracuse, Florida State, and I've also got Alabama beating up on Arkansas 21-6. By the way, I know this sounds trite in a way. Arkansas might be the best 2-4 team in the country.
You're right. No, you're right about that.
Because they've played an absolute murderer's row. And the losing streak they're on started with the loss to BYU.
Right.
They've been actually very good. They just played very good teams in the SEC. LSU. They're playing Alabama today. It's 21-6 right now.
Yeah.
They literally just got to halftime in that game. So crazy times, obviously, and we're looking forward, obviously, to the games today. I meant to mention this earlier. Pretty wild game last night for Utah State in their own right. They ended up losing that game to Fresno State. Here's the thing, though. They didn't fall behind by 17 points in the first quarter. That's a positive step in the right direction for the Utah State Aggies. They do drop to 3-4 on the season. It feels like, in some ways, the Aggies are a team that they have very small margins for error, if that makes sense, in terms of if they want to win a football game, they've got to play really, really good football, and they have to have their star player step up and do it. It doesn't feel like right now the Utah State has the same, depth or margin for error that they had just two seasons ago when they won the Mountain West.
Right, and I'm telling you right now, I watched the game. Cooper Legault doesn't throw that interception at the end, and they're going to go down and score. I mean, there was not a whole ton of defense being played in that game, but you're right. That's where the margin of error is, that they can't throw that last interception. It can't happen on that last drive, but if he doesn't throw that, I think they go score and win that game.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, obviously. The hope is that McKay Hillstead will be able to get back into action at some point. But in the meantime, Cooper Legault continuing to ball out. Terrell Vaughn still remains very, very good. The trio of running backs, Rasul Faison had the really, really nice touchdown run last night as well. It feels like there are pieces there for what they're doing with the Aggies up in Logan. So we'll see what happens with regards to Utah State the rest of the way. Obviously, just a tough loss last night. That Fresno State team is very, very good. Getting ready for BYU and Utah coming up later this afternoon. Top of the hour, the Ute pregame show will begin at noon. I'll be at Lloyd Cole and Christian Cox getting you ready for Utah and Cal. 12:30, we'll split the signal. Alex Carey and myself will be getting you ready for BYU and TCU on the road. Should be a fun day full of football. Obviously, we got RSL action later tonight as well, by the way. Real Salt Lake is taking on the Los Angeles Galaxy. Now, it is an international window for soccer, so RSL has been fairly shorthanded coming into this game, but this is the game that was rescheduled as a result of the hurricane that blew through Southern California earlier on this season, necessitating the games. RSL is supposed to be at LA Galaxy that weekend. It's supposed to be a Sunday game, if I recall correctly. They said, we're not playing it, we're going to postpone it. So they stuck it in this window. It's one of just three Major League Soccer games this weekend. The full The full league will be in action next week on Decision Day, the final day of games, obviously getting ready for the playoffs. The nice part is RSL will be playing in the postseason. The bigger question today is regards to, okay, RSL, if they win today, they jump to fourth place. They can get up into the upper half of the playoff bracket in Major League Soccer, and that's the hope you got to be going for if you're RSL here. Now, you have injuries you're dealing with. I am not expecting them. I actually can pull this up right now. Let's take a look real quick. I haven't seen any updates on this today, but the bigger question is going to be, okay, how do they deal with the injuries? You had some of your star players get injured. You have a red card for Justin Glad last week, 37 seconds into the match. The second fastest red card in Major League Soccer history. That's something we learned last week, Jason. I know you just like mouth
37 seconds?
And it was a legitimate red card. The other one, the only other one faster in Major League Soccer history, 34 seconds into a match.
Wow.
A goalkeeper took out a guy back in like the 90s or something like that and got sent off. And crazy, crazy times across the board. Yeah, the big question is going to be with four players out on international duty, you got Jefferson Savarino with Venezuela, Brian Ojeda with Paraguay, Rubio Rubin with Guatemala, and Kevon Lambert with Jamaica. You have Justin Glad out due to a red card. You also have injuries to Chicho Arango, Danny Musovski. So, you're going to be ham and egg in this here for RSL. They brought up three academy players to join the lineup because they're just shorthanded. They have extreme hardship rules in play. Should be an interesting one tonight. 7 o'clock start for Real Salt Lake. Looking forward to that one, and we'll see how it goes. Oh, no, excuse me, not 7 o'clock, 8:30. You're on the road. Duh, my bad. It's late night tonight for RSL. So looking forward to that. Now, also, just because we have everything else going on, we talked about this to start the show. Let's go right back to it. October's a crazy time, folks.
Yeah.
Utah Jazz in action tonight, taking on the Portland Trailblazers. Preseason action continues. This is the preseason home opener for the Jazz. They'll be back inside, once again, the Delta Center, formally. The change obviously happened during the summer, but the Jazz have not played in the arena since the rebrand happened, and obviously looking forward to that. The bigger thing for the Jazz here is, do they have a point guard? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know how much you've seen of them so far, Jason. What have been your impressions through the preseason so far?
I mean, there are point guards there.
Sure. Do they have a starting one?
That's the question.
Good question.
That's the real question that they've got. I mean, they don't have anybody that I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, this guy is. There's nobody that has separated themselves to this point to be like, yeah, that's the guy right there that's going to be the starting point guard. They've had some nice moments here and there, and there are some guys that look like they could competently, you know, be the guy and run the team. But I don't know that anybody has actually separated themselves at this point and said, oh yeah, I'm the guy that's gonna be the point guard on the team. So I. But that's what the preseason's for, you know, is to try and figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
And hopefully somebody will, you know, shine. And now the real question is, does Portland have a point guard since they trade Damian Lillard away? And the answer is probably not at this point.
And we're going to see, by the way, Dame and Giannis Antetokounmpo are supposed to play together for the first time as members of the Milwaukee Bucks tonight as well in preseason action. So that's obviously a storyline to track in the NBA with that trade going down. But you're right. It's a very interesting season ahead, it feels like, for both the Jazz and the Trailblazers, because the Jazz exceeded a lot of expectations last year, went and got what I think is a pretty good draft haul. By the way, let me just say this about the Jazz real quick. All y'all Jazz fans who are like bagging on Taylor Hendricks right now, slow down. Slow down. I know you want to see him on the court. I know that they're playing guys like Simone Fontecchio in front of him. I know all that's happening. But let me reiterate to some of you, and I think I've saw this on social media with some people as well, is that Ochai Agbaji, who ended up being a very, very good player for the Utah Jazz last season, spent a significant period of that season in the G League playing for the Salt Lake City Stars. He started the season with the Jazz and looked in over his head, frankly. I watch all 82 games plus whatever preseason games every year. It's part of the gig with this job. I remember Ochai Agbaji. I'm like, okay, this guy was the most outstanding player in the Final Four. He's going to slot right in. He should fit in right. Cool. Comes out with the Utah Jazz start the season last year and was like, this dude is just, he couldn't figure it out. He was in his own head, it felt like, in certain circumstances. And the speed of the game felt like was too much for him at that point. Well, what do? They turn and say, okay, We're sending you down to the G League. Don't look at it as a demotion. Look at it as a chance to go down, work on here's what we need you to work on. We need to work on your shot and give him a list of things to work on. He goes down there and stands out with the Salt Lake City Stars. And when they brought him back over to join the Utah Jazz, he looked like a completely, completely different player. That's the hope for a guy like Taylor Hendricks here as well, is that, yeah, he may not start the season in the rotation for the Utah Jazz. Now, you'd like to, because he's a lottery pick and all that stuff, think that, okay, he's capable of doing that. But I think the Jazz know what they have in him. They wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't think that they have something that they can work with. It may take some time to get that out of him this season. He may spend some time with the Salt Lake City Stars playing for Steve Wojciechowski and the Stars. It's not the worst thing in the world. We've seen a lot of guys, Rudy Gobert included, who have played in the G League and gone on to have really, really solid careers. So please, 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 please stop with the, he's a bust. He hasn't even played a regular season NBA game, folks. Stop it.
Rarely do any guys outside of the top five picks actually star. And there are occasionally ones that do. But,
sure.
But, I mean, there's something to be said for being able to bring a guy along and develop him over time. And I know the NBA it's a little bit different. It's a little bit quirky, you know, in that sense that they expect your guys to come in right away and to be amazing. Yeah. The kid's 19, okay? Let's keep that into perspective. He's 19. He's not LeBron James. Nobody was expecting him to be LeBron James. He wasn't going to be, or Kobe Bryant. They weren't going to be 18 years old, 19 years old, and come into the league and immediately dominate. Let's give these kids, you know, think back to when you were 19 years old. Were you not only physically, but mentally ready for something like this?
I was in the physical prime of my life. What are you talking about here? No, I mean,
cut the guy a little bit of slack. You know, I think part of the problem is that everybody saw what Keontae George did in the summer league.
And that doesn't help, yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, Keontae George, you know, he was picked later, so Taylor Hendricks should be in that, you know, at least that good, if not better. Okay, Keontae George played great in the summer league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see what happens. I'm not saying that Keontae George isn't going to play well. He may end up being a really good player. But let's take a breath and let's figure out, you know, let's give him some time to actually get in, play some games in the NBA, mm-hmm. and figure out if they're actually going to be competent players.
Well, see, and that's a very good point you make, because I do think that the Keontae George breakout of what he did in the summer league had Jazz fans thinking, okay, wow. But here's the thing. He stunned everybody. Because this is a kid that bulked up to play a different position when he got to Baylor last year and then dropped that weight. And he came out and everybody's like, hold on. This is the guy we saw in high school and playing for AAU. Like, there were a lot of people out there that were questioning why the Jazz took him.
Right.
And to your point also is that right now with what's going on, if he was as good right now for the Jazz in the preseason, he was in the summer league, he'd probably be the starting point guard right now.
Right.
The problem is, and I think Clint O'Pete sent this in to DJ and PK, says this: what I've gathered from the preseason, David James and Patrick Kinahan, is that there was a good reason that the Jazz have about 10 guards on that roster, because they have no idea who the starting point guard is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be Clarkson, it could be Sexton, but...
It could be THT.
Could be any one of those, but But there's nothing wrong with that, necessarily. Having 10 guys on there, and like I say, hopefully one guy will distance himself over the course of these games, and you can say, okay, that guy is definitely going to be the starter. He's the definite starter. But if not, then it doesn't hurt to have depth. And, you know, and you can stash some of these guys in the G League and get them minutes, get them experience against, you know, a higher level of competition than they were getting when they were in college. And hopefully they can develop into something. But give them time.
Yeah. And the interesting part about this Jazz season ahead is it feels like with the Jazz doing what they did last season, obviously they ended up shutting it down towards the tail end to improve their draft position a little bit. They exceeded expectations last year.
Right.
Now, that obviously lends itself to this year. Okay, they're pushing for the playoffs. They could push for the playoffs. They also could find themselves being a lottery team as well.
Right.
It feels like this season, it's not, this is not the final product of what the Utah Jazz are supposed to be. No. Lowry Markkanen was an incredible find a year ago.
Yeah.
To become an all-star like he did and do what he did for the Jazz was awesome. Let's just enjoy what they're building right now for the Jazz. I don't think that... Have you heard anybody from the Jazz front office or coaching staff say, you know what, this is the year of pushing all the chips in. No.
No.
They know this is, it's going to be a multi-year process with this. They're going to remain competitive. That's part of the whole gig in the NBA. They want to remain competitive. They know that Jazz fans expect a certain level of competitiveness.
Sure.
Jazz fans won't sign up for the process that Philadelphia went through.
No.
Nor will many fan bases,
exactly.
Frankly. And I don't think Philadelphia 76ers fans were happy about that, obviously, having a team that's winning 10 games a year and that type of stuff. The nice part is, though, is that the Jazz are they're putting pieces together. And like I said, this is a puzzle that is not done yet. Like, Lauri Markkanen looks the part of a puzzle piece, a guy that the Jazz can build around.
Right.
Keontae George, based on what he did in the summer league, looks like a piece.
Right.
The thought was that when you brought in some of these guys that, okay, Taylor Hendricks, well, he looks like the prototypical four-man who can play outside in, and obviously with his ability to leap and shoot the three, that he can become that stretch four that you want him to be. You mentioned, Jason, to your point, a very good point, he's 19 years old. So let's just pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah,
there's a process to be completed here, and we'll see. It'll be interesting to see where it ultimately goes. By the way, that game set for 7 o'clock tonight. If you're coming out to the Delta Center, hope you guys enjoy it, obviously, or you can listen to all the action right here on your exclusive radio home for the Utah Jazz, the KSL Sports Zone. David Locke, Ron Boone will be on the call, and the NBA season is not far off. It's crazy to think about. Jazz have two more preseason games next week, one against the New Zealand Breakers out of the NBL down there in Australia. They're coming for an overseas tour, and then they will be headed to Portland, if I'm not mistaken, for their final preseason game. It'll be a Thursday night, I believe, when they play that game. So looking forward to that. All right, one other thing before we go in this segment is I mentioned right before the break that the UHSAA has put out its brackets for the Utah High School football playoffs. Obviously, a really, really fun time of year. I know that it feels like in some ways that the high school season just started, because trust me, I've been calling games for 10 weeks for high school football, and it literally to me feels like it's just started. But nonetheless, the regular season has come to a close, and we have the final RPI rankings and also the brackets. Now, I didn't know this, Jason. You've got a son that plays for the Sky Ridge Falcons.
That is correct.
They are the 4 seed in the 6A playoffs.
I see that.
I'm hosting the Farmington Phoenix.
And if they win that game, they will likely match up with one of the teams that they lost to this year,
Pleasant Grove. Yeah, it was a crazy game.
It was a strange game. It was kind of like the Colorado Stanford game, tale of two halves there, because Sky Ridge dominated the first half and then Pleasant Grove dominated the second half.
Yeah, the fun part about this is a crazy time of year. I look forward to this every single year. Funny enough, I'll always remember, so 2 postseasons ago for high school football, I will never forget this. So Parker Kingston is now a pretty good player for the BYU football program, played at Roy High School. I was scheduled to call the Roy Westlake game. It was a 5A playoff game, first round matchup, and literally it's about this time 2 years ago. Well, the night before that, my wife is just in awful pain. And my wife, I will freely admit this, she's the real athlete in the family. She played collegiate softball. Like she my kid's getting, like, you talk about talking about wanting to get the athleticism from a parent.
Yeah.
My kids better get it from Mrs. Hatch.
Yeah.
Well, she was in awful pain. And trust me, she is as tough as nails. So we ended up spending the entire night in the ER. I did not get any sleep. I came in and I got out of the ER, got her home, got her situated. I came in to DJ and PK, and then immediately after DJ and PK, headed up to Roy High School to call this game. And it was an absolute barn burner of a game. 43-42 was the final. Westlake comes back to win it over Roy. Parker Kingston was like a one-man show, it felt like. I know that Roy, football's an 11-man game, but Parker Kingston was just so good in that game and just came a couple plays short of winning it. I will forever remember that, because I went like a full like 36 hours without sleeping. It was crazy stuff. That game will be forever ingrained in my brain just simply due to all the circumstances surrounding it with my wife and everything. But it's high school football. It's fun. American Fork is the number 1 seed for the 6A playoffs. Corner Canyon, led by Isaac Wilson, obviously the Utah commit, they're the number 2 seed. But they will both have byes this week. They will not play a game until the 27th. They will play. So for American Fork, they'll play the winner of Fremont and the aforementioned Westlake Thunder. And then the Copper Hills Layton matchup, whoever wins that will take on Corner Canyon. But looking forward to this. This is a really, really fun time of year. Now, 6A playoffs only have 2 first-round games, Fremont and Westlake this week. But if you drop down to the lower divisions, that's the funner stuff, is where you have a lot of these first-round games. You have, let's see, 8 first-round games in the 5A playoffs. Tempview, the number one seed in the 5A ranks. Springville, number two. Roy, who we just talked about, the number three seed, has had actually a really, really good season. And then the four seed is the Box Elder Bees. So should be an interesting season ahead. KSL Rewind, obviously, will have plenty of streams for you. I will be out on a call somewhere next week. I don't know quite yet. I would assume it's one of these 5A games I'll probably be at. There's a couple good ones here, though. Wasatch Orem looks like it could be just an absolutely crazy game. I'm actually very intrigued by Kearns versus East. Those are two teams that are Salt Lake Valley schools. They've got long traditions going up against one another. And then also you have the, where was it? Oh, there we go. Bountiful Cedar Valley. Now, Cedar Valley's out by where Jason and I live, not too far away. They're out in Eagle Mountain out there. They have not had the season they expected, but they've got a lot of good athletes. Meanwhile, Bountiful has been a really, really good program this year. Really, really fine season for them. So I'm looking forward to this. I know that high school football doesn't necessarily do it for everybody, but for me, it's an opportunity. I love high school football because it's a look at what the kind of the future of some of these college programs are. I've seen some of these athletes. I'm like, okay, well, that guy's going to be a stud for wherever he commits to. Like Isaac Wilson, for example. I think he's a very, very good football player, and he's been lights out for Corner Canyon this year. And I think he's answered a lot of the questions that a lot of people were like, well, can he really do it? He's proven to be an elite quarterback. Now, he has to go prove it at the collegiate level for the Utes, but Kyle Whittingham and his staff, they don't necessarily just offer guys to offer them. They believe that these guys are capable players, and they also have a lot of Isaiah Garcia's committed to Utah playing for Corner Canyon. He's an offensive lineman who I think is – he's a future like star at left tackle, I think, at the collegiate level. You also have what's his name? Who's the star defensive end for Corner Canyon? Names escaped me all of a sudden, but – it's fun to see kind of the future. There are multiple guys. I encourage you, if you want to watch the best football this coming weekend in certain circumstances, get out to a high school football game and watch some of these studs obviously playing. It's one and done from this point on for a lot of these programs. Well, all of them, actually. Not some of these. All of them. You got to win or you go home. It's simple as that. All right, so plenty of coverage ahead on KSL Rewind. We'll have coverage for you guys coming up this coming Friday. Plenty of streams for you guys. And of course, live calls as well. I would encourage you guys to check out. Make sure you don't miss a KSL Rewind Red Zone as well. Should be fun to obviously have Dusty and Jeff Hansen breaking things down on that program next Friday as well. All right, we will come back on the other side. We'll wrap up this program, this edition of the Saturday Show. It's coming up next right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Wrapping things up on this edition of the show. It's good to be back, by the way. And I got to say, by the way, on a personal note, thank you to all of you who reached out. My wife had a kid. This goes back. We're now 2+ weeks removed. A lot of well wishes being sent my way. And just thank you on a personal note for all that. It's good to have him home. And my other two kids think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So it's been fun to have baby Landon, Landon Hatch, a new addition to the Hatch family. But thank you once again for the support on that side of things. I need to issue a correction and retraction. Our good friend Scooter Burke, obviously a longtime listener to the show, I said the Utah Jazz actually closed out the 2023 preseason in Sacramento against the Kings on Thursday. So I apologize. I screwed that up. I had Portland on the brain and thought it was a rematch. No, it's the Sacramento Kings, obviously. And by the way, the Kings, that's a fun team to watch. I don't know, a lot of people out there, they don't have the bandwidth in many respects to watch all these teams. What I've seen of the Sacramento Kings, I love the way that they play. Mike Brown, their head coach, they play a free-flowing style of basketball, and it seems like the years, like we're talking like almost two decades worth of futility with the Sacramento Kings. It's gone for the time being, and hopefully we can enjoy a little bit more of what the Kings bring to the table, because that's a team they can get after. They're really, really fun to watch, and it'd be a fun one to see the Jazz take them on Thursday night. So, Scooter, thank you for the correction there. I apologize for messing that up earlier. All right, a couple of notes before we go on today's show is I want to get some predictions. I want to get Jason's prediction on this. So, Jason, I just want two predictions from from you.
Okay.
First one, Cal Utah. Who are you expecting to win?
Yeah.
You have a score, by the way.
What's that?
You have a score prediction.
Yes, I have a score prediction. Okay. Yes. I expect Utah to win.
Okay.
I expect the defense to score a touchdown.
All right.
I do not expect Cal to be able to do much against Utah's defense. I think that it's getting to the point now where the defense has sort of come to the realization that there's probably not going to be a Cam Rising anytime soon, so they have to be the ones. I've got Utah 24-10.
Okay, and then what you got for BYU TCU?
Wow, that's gonna be a good game. I think there's gonna be a lot of points scored, and I think there's even gonna be a lot of points scored on TCU side, even with a freshman quarterback. I think there's gonna be a lot of points scored, but I think that having that experience at quarterback, I keep talking about that, and I think that that's an important thing at quarterback, and so I think ultimately BYU is gonna pull this game out. It's gonna be somewhere, I'm going to say 37-34, okay. Something to that effect. That's where I'm going.
I can see that, yeah, no doubt. I'm expecting both BYU and Utah to win today. I think the Utes, similar to what you think, I think the Utes will just shut them down on defense. It's what they have to do. That's what the feeling of this season looks like it's going to be. Is going to the defense, kind of the classic Kyle Whittingham style. Defense is dominant, shuts these teams down, that you get just enough to get the W. I'm saying something like Utah like 20, Cal 10. I think it's a lower scoring game once again. Now, with regards to BYU, TCU, I'm a little more bullish on BYU. I think Keaton Slovis is going to get it done. I think BYU finds a little bit more of that running game in that matchup. On my podcast this week, Locked On Cougars, I predicted BYU 31, TCU 23. So we'll see where things stand. But coming up next, it is the Ute pregame show. Lloyd Cole, Christian Cox, getting you ready as Utah gets ready to take on Cal. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on the Pac-12 Network. And then at 12:30, we will split the signal over on 1280 AM. Alex Keery and myself will get you ready for BYU and TCU. That one, a 1:30 kickoff on ESPN. So, of course, we'll have post-game reaction for both of those programs immediately after they go finals. So keep it locked right here on The Zone. All day long, Jazz and RSL later on tonight as well. And a big thank you once again for your support of the show. Check out the podcast, is what I was trying to say, wherever you get it, if you missed any part of today's program. And a big thank you once again to Jason for producing. Thank you to Michelle for joining us as well. And, of course, until next week, have a great rest of your day, my friends. This has been the Saturday Show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.